The 1-900 Wrestling Podcast is brought to you, as always, by Patreon.com/1900Wrestling. Yeah, a lot of people give you Patreon pitches. Here's a very simple one. This is a transaction. We don't take any money from this show. What we do is we throw it on into a big old pot where we buy wrestling tickets. We're going to be buying wrestling tickets tomorrow. So now is a great time to go ahead and get on the Patreon. Now, you're not just doing it out of the goodness of your heart, see? What you're getting is access to the best private club in wrestling today, brava. Yeah, it's the 1-900 Wrestling Discord. It is where you can watch live wrestling with some of the coolest people on the planet. No BS, no random spamming, no dumb opinions. Maybe some dumb opinions. But still, they're with your friends. It's like watching it with people on the couch. I'm in there. Dills is in there. All of our hardcores. It is the best place to be. So go ahead and get on the team. Patreon.com/1900Wrestling. But enough of talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
Me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to yet another edition of 1-900 Wrestling. Joining me as always is the man, the myth, the legend, Willie Dills Gregory. How you doing?
Tired, but I'm here and ready to talk wrestling. We had not a lot of things to talk about. There's the greatest Royal Rumble that happened.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that.
Outside of that, I don't know what else is going on.
We're
going
to talk. But you want to know what? We're actually just going to talk. Hey, there's a lot of we got to organize getting all these tickets tomorrow. Tickets go on sale for the G1 special in San Francisco, California. It's going to be a big fun time. We got to make sure that we get primo seats for that. But you want to know what? We were actually hanging out this weekend in Las Vegas. So
last time we were together in Las Vegas was
ROH.
Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Which was a blast. It's always, man, Vegas is just never a bad time. It's just like that town is there for a reason. But we're going to talk a little bit about that. So you got in the night before I did, right? You got in on Thursday night?
I came in on Thursday. We just kind of messed around in the hotel for a little while, went, hung out in some people's rooms, had some drinks. And then the plan was to go to bed.
Yeah.
Early.
Let's just get one night where everybody gets a nice night's sleep. Mm-hmm. You wake up refreshed. You want to know what? Maybe hit the gym real quick, get a little pumping.
Yeah, maybe just a
feeling
dip in the
good
pool. Yeah, maybe gets just like get like a parfait for breakfast. Oh, or something nice and healthy.
Just a light yeah, fun breakfast. Maybe some roughage, sure, right? Like maybe just
I'm not even going to get coffee. I'm going to get like a tea, like a black tea.
Oh, you know? Like an Earl Grey, yeah, right?
Really,
like,
take care of my body. That's just what was the plan.
You know, because you want to stay in prime shape to really enjoy everything, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was gonna take vitamin B before I go to bed.
Make oh sure that man,
I wash my face with something that's really gonna exfoliate me.
A nice scrub, get some essential oils, right? Yeah. Like
maybe like
this
a,
is
a bubble bath before bed.
Hey, you want to know what? Maybe call down, get a little spa in. Like maybe like the next morning, get a nice little massage. You're going to be feeling like a million bucks the next day.
Exactly. Maybe just get a hooker, but only for companionship. Like
just to talk. I mean, listen, we all lead different lives. Why don't we exchange more information?
Exactly. Just looking to really take care of myself, get a nice night's sleep, get up early, watch wrestling with my good friend Justin.
Mind, body, and spirit. That's really what you want.
Yeah, but instead, what I did is I just played craps until 5 in the morning. Smoking cigarettes, drinking whiskey. It was bad. I woke up. Then I had a really, really good idea when I got back to the room that if I take a Tylenol PM, I will sleep so deeply that I will get up bright and early when my alarm goes off.
But okay.
No, I just slept right on through that thing.
So wait a minute.
So I didn't make it to the room until what, like 11? Something like that?
So, yeah. All right. So here, let's stop your story. Let's put a pin in your story for, right, for now and just know that, yes, that Dills sleeps through his alarm.
Yes. There you go. That's basically the middle part of my story.
We switch back to me where I was going to fly in to I had a ticket to fly in to Vegas that Thursday night. I had a hotel to fly in that Thursday night. Then I realized about a couple weeks ago that I also had tickets for opening night of Infinity War at the Alamo Drafthouse. So I go to that. Now, here's the only problem here, Willie, is that that Infinity War screening was at 10:30 p.m. Pacific time. So everything
across
is local.
Bridge from your house as well.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a haul. I mean, you know, it's either a BART or you know, you can get an Uber back and forth, but it's definitely a little bit. So, again, Infinity War is about, what, two and a half hours? Something like that?
About 2.5. It's a long movie. Yeah.
It's lengthy, right?
There's a lot to pack in there.
Yeah, so I'm done with that at 2 o'clock in the morning. My new flight out to Vegas is at 6 o'clock. In the morning. So essentially, I'm going home to sleep for 2 hours before waking up at 4 o'clock, getting a really quick shower, heading down to the airport so I can get ready for my 6 o'clock flight to Vegas. Now, here is something that I would like to spell out for everybody, because this is scientific information that everybody needs to know. When you're on 2 hours of sleep, you really, the only thing that you need is rest. I will tell you that I tried everything else. And that's where we come into as I get picked up from the airport. And all of a sudden, it's not even like I can come into my room and catch a quick cat nap. Because the plan is...
Saudi Arabia has spoiled that possibility.
Exactly. Because the three of us, me, you, and Mitsula, the Mike Grillo of the old school, the Vegas Sherpa, the man who makes it all happen in Sin City, is picking me up from the airport. And we're going right from the airport to the plaza, where the plan is either if I can get my room that early, because I wasn't supposed to check in until 3 o'clock. So either I was going to get my room or... we were going to have to bang on your door until you woke up.
Until I bleary-eyed let you guys in. Yeah.
To let us in. So, luckily we're able to get my room, which is good. But also, it means that there's no rest for me. It's not like, hey, you want to know what? I'll catch up with the cruiserweight match and the Raw Tag Team Championships. I'm going to catch some Z's. I'll meet you guys wherever you're going, because it's just me and Mitz, and Mitz has already invited all these other people up to my room. So, the only person who got any sleep during the Greatest Royal Rumble was your friend of mine, Curly, who in very curly fashion just laid down on the floor and immediately started snoring like a bear.
He had another late night as well, from what I hear.
He did. So you wake up about a quarter of the way through the show and walk across the hall to meet the rest of the crew.
And
Goat
I did one
was
of those
in there.
Wake ups where it was just, I went from dead asleep to just blah, and then my phone. Oh God, it was like still. I think it was still going off the alarm, and I got messages for you guys. So there was, there was no like quick shower. There was no.
Now the good news is,
oh God, I got to get over there.
You were literally across the hall. Like,
yeah, it was good that my commute was very short. But yeah. Grabbed a couple of Dos Equis, bottle of whiskey, came right on over.
And therein begins the problem for me, because I have 2 hours of sleep. And at that point, all I have from then until I go to sleep are friendly faces offering me liquor. That's it. That's all I face. The only thing that I should have done is bowed out and said, all right, all you guys go do something else. I'm going to sleep for a few hours so I can make it through the night. And I would have if I had been allowed a reprieve from the parade, thankful though I might be, the parade of friendly people, all of which want to offer me something to drink and I am very, very willing to take. I guess now is where we can get in our greatest Royal Rumble thoughts. What did you think of the pay-per-view?
So after I have had a chance to catch up on some of the stuff that I missed. No, I didn't sit and watch all this because basically the gist that I heard from everybody afterwards was these were a lot of awesome matches with finishes that don't disturb the current situations each one is having in their whatever their feuds are. Right. This was basically like, let's have a bunch of matches, but let's accomplish nothing.
Which is
that was kind of how the
well,
the Royal
but that's kind of the house show idea.
Yeah,
right.
It's like the world's biggest house show is basically what happens.
But
right?
I'm like down with that. I would rather have the exciting matches where nothing really gets done, like at a house show, than have like all the meaningful matches where things just incrementally, slowly move forward. Like have the big exciting things. I kind of love that. It reminded me of that Roadblock pay-per-view a few years ago where it was like Triple H versus Dean Ambrose, where like you kind of knew that Dean Ambrose wasn't going to win the championship, but it was just a great match. And the you can always use the wrestling storytelling to get right up to the edge of the impossible, make you believe the impossible, and then pull back. And then somebody cheats or they get counted out or just do all these finishes that we don't really see so much anymore in the WWE.
Well, I would say that the actual ending to the Royal Rumble itself got something done. But outside of that, no titles changed hands.
Well, new champions, but it was in a vacated title. The Raw Tag Team Champions are now the Deleters of World.
Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy are now the champions, right? So,
yeah.
So there you go. It didn't change hands, but it
new champions, new champions, and thank God the bar is off Raw, because I think as much as I enjoy the bar, man, do I not need to see them face the same people a million times on Raw for the last year.
New stuff for sure. But, you know, okay, so John Cena, Triple H, I thought that was a fun match. That was just like a nice, okay, here's two guys who don't really have a reason to ever cross paths right now. We're just going to have them wrestle.
You want to know what it made me appreciate? Is look at the speed of that match versus the speed of, say, the Intercontinental Championship match. And, like, just baseline, matches have gotten so much faster and so much more dynamic than even two greats like Cena and Triple H are going to naturally go in, like, a house show setting, which is basically what this was.
Yeah, I kind of expected just a lot of fake punching and slowly walking over and things like that. And there was some of that.
There was a fair amount of that, yeah.
Yeah, but it didn't feel like too much of that. Sometimes you're watching one of those matches and you're like, I get it, okay. You're stumbling, you're out on your feet because his punches are so hard. Like,
yeah.
This was fine, and there was some good stuff in there. Some finisher stuff, finisher spam things. Well, fine, whatever. Outside of that, it's like nothing was really like eye popping, but I did really like the ending to the ladder match. Because you don't really see them do it that way very often, right? Where he just like leapt up and like beat him to the belt, which is normally it's like a bunch of punching on top of the ladder, and then somebody kind of gets the best of the other one, and then slowly climbs their way up to mounting cheers.
But that's a great house show finish. Right.
Yeah.
Where it's like it's not about the story. It's about the athletics, and it's about bringing you right to the point of like, oh, my God, they're going to do a title change in my hometown. No, they're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody pulls it out of
their
butt.
You don't see them do like a race to the belt very often. It's mostly it's just everyone's been taken out. And then one guy, Dolph Ziggler style.
Yeah.
Barely make it up the ladder. But this was kind of cool because he just was like springboard up onto it. I got it before you did.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. I like that a lot. Shinsuke Nakamura, whatever.
I'll tell you what. I'm
more dick punching.
If we get, inevitably we are building to another one of these, which I think they're set to face off the Backlash.
It's already set, I think.
I'm fine with them playing this out for as long as they need because Cock Knocker Nakamura, I am into it. I'm into his vibe. And you know what? It made me remember that, like, that was the first time that I saw Nakamura was as a heel, and he kind of became like cool because he always, even as a face, kind of acted like a heel. And I realized that there's like, there's just, he feels like reinvigorated, like as a character, like all of his stuff is just so disrespectful and you like feel it. It's not him like having fun, Maggle. It's him just really acting like a piece of shit. And it's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very believable too. Like he's, when he first turned, I was like, oh man, this is going to be hard for me to buy in to Nakamura as a bad guy. And then it slowly becomes,
it's like, no.
Oh, okay. He was just holding back the whole time when he was a good guy. This is the true Nakamura right here. So yeah, I'm getting to it. I didn't mind. Some people were complaining about this finish, like, oh, dumb way to finish. It's like, no, like they fought to, now you've kind of gotten this thought in your head, like these guys might just be equal. I don't know who's supposed to come out on top. And then when we finally do get inevitably somebody to kind of get the best of the other, it's going to be, the payoff's going to be great.
Exactly. Well, and like, look, I'm down with some of these old school finishes, some of these count outs, like that's fine. Just keep it going. Like not everything has to be, I'd rather that than like, well, here, let me just say this. This will be our sit down marks for the episode. You can't bitch about how it's 50-50 booking. It's 50-50 booking. Like, why'd you take all the heat out of it? Because he won. And then also bitch about a count out. Because this is to get you to the next thing where you're not beating somebody. So it's fine.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Like, there's too much complaining about not just 50-50 booking things, but guy is not looking strong enough. This guy was supposed to win. This guy was supposed to win. It's like, I get kind of fed up with that. Like, where we're pretending to be fans of a thing that we understand is, you know, they set up who's supposed to win. These are all storylines that are being played out. Why do, like, you have some opinion on it, and so you need to force them to do the thing that you didn't like, otherwise it's bad. Like, the whole thing is like, just let it happen, man. Yeah. For wrestling fans, just let it happen.
Just let it go. Come on. All right, so.
And then, yeah, I guess the last one that really matters besides the big one is Brock Lesnar from
There is, of course, Undertaker Rusev in a casket
match. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, which Rusev got more offense than John Cena, so Rusev ergo better than John Cena, right?
Tell you what, can't argue with that. So the law of the kingdom is laid. And, I enjoyed that match. I would rather random stuff like this. Like, have The Undertaker come back for 5 minutes, wrestle somebody vibrant, and sure, he's going to win in a casket match. But whatever. It's cool. I dig it.
Yeah, no, it was good. I think it was definitely, this was better. Maybe this was kind of the point of the WrestleMania stuff being just like a squash, is maybe he just wasn't quite ready to actually do something like this.
Yeah.
But this was actually like a good match. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So congratulations to Undertaker having a good match. Congratulations to Rusev
for getting
it work. I thought that was fun too. And then, yeah. And then Brock and Roman. So we were in the hotel room complaining about, or some people were like, but he didn't touch the mat or whatever. He touched the cage.
So, all right. So,
you could say it's a squirrely finish, right?
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, the match ends. The cage match ends. By the way, Brock Lesnar climbed to the top of the cage, which is something that I did not think he was going to do. That's a terrifying sight. Roman spears Brock out of the cage, and that is the end. Brock, I guess, touches the floor first.
Brock's back hits the ground first.
Yeah.
Before Roman. I guess so. Roman's on top. But now. Oh, man. I don't know. It's weird. What are the actual rules? Is it feet touch the ground?
The rules are whatever Vince McMahon says they are.
All right.
Technically.
This is, okay. So this is. Yeah. This is one of the other things, too. It's like, I don't really care about the rules. I get it.
Yeah.
Brock wins. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's fine.
The rule is we're not changing the title in Saudi Arabia, pal.
I was saying this, like, hand is part of the ball in basketball.
Yeah.
Cage is part of the floor. Makes sense.
You know, I guess so. Look, I thought that match was better than the WrestleMania match by a damn sight. I like it in those matches when Roman gets a little bit of offense in early. And that's what I think kind of like sucked the wind out of that WrestleMania match is we love it when they're just big old brontosauruses hitting each other with their necks. And it's like, that's the best part of that kind of fight. And I thought we got a lot more of that in this one than we did in the WrestleMania match. The finish was rad. There's never a time when a crowd is upset because somebody gets speared outside of a cage, through a cage wall. Always a crowd pleaser. Always a good time. So I was excited about it.
I mean, yeah, to me, it's like, okay, I get it. Like, at that point, it's kind of a ruling that gets made. And, you know, getting bogged down in this type of stuff when you're a wrestling fan, I think it's just kind of a waste of time. Like, it's like, we don't need to sit here and debate because, again, it's like the whole thing is set up to tell a story.
Yeah.
That's the story that was told to us. It's not, this isn't football where we want a slow motion replay to, see if, like, the ball crossed the plane. That's interesting. That's actually, by the way, that's not interesting in other sports, you know?
Yeah.
Is like the whole replay system and all that. It's actually one of the things I hate the most. So wrestling, I don't have to deal with it. It's great. Let me mindlessly watch the match and be like, oh, Brock won. Okay.
Cool. Well, speaking of replays, let's go to the greatest Royal Rumble. A 50-person Royal Rumble match featuring surprise returns. We got Hornswoggle. We got the Great Khali. And we got one of the most memorable moments in any kind of battle royal history, as a sprinting Titus O'Neil tripped over his own feet and took a header under the ring.
Yeah, that was pretty epic. Best moment of the pay-per-view by far. And they showed it 20 times after.
The rumor was Vince McMahon could not breathe because he was laughing so hard and continued to demand that the replays get played over and over and over and over and over again.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Look, Titus grabbed him by the arm one time. So, he needs to get it. It was hilarious. There's a few
some good ass memes. We got some good memes going. Based on Titus's "See you next fall."
Oh yeah, no, it's this new sweet meme, and now it's up on WWE.com like from multiple angles.
So yeah, just to enjoy it from every possible angle. Braun Strowman wins the Royal Rumble. He gets a belt that who knows if we will ever see on television again. And
what was the deal with that? Did they just want him to hoist something? Is this a Saudi prince request again? Like, I want him to have a belt at the end? Because apparently he requested frigging Yokozuna.
And that's why we got the random sumo wrestler.
That's why we got the sumo guy, yeah. He requested the Ultimate Warrior.
Little late.
Tough to pull that one off. And apparently he also requested, somebody, I can't remember who the other person was, but he made like these weird requests for people he wanted to see, and they tried to make it work, I guess. So, yeah, that's why there was, and what was the guy's name? Oh, man, I'll find it here in a second.
Sumi?
It was just like he came out and everyone was like, who? Who this now?
Yeah, no, we did a little
Hiroki
pool.
Sumi.
Hiroki Sumi. Agent,
yes.
And he wanted The Undertaker, and so we got The Undertaker.
Yeah. Yeah, and then one of the comments in Square Circle was, thank God he didn't request Hulk Hogan and CM Punk.
You want to know what? It would be curious.
I'd actually be very curious to see how they would handle that.
Yeah.
But notable thing outside of the fact that Titus fell on his face and Braun Strowman won, Daniel Bryan was in there for an hour and 16 minutes.
Holy crap. Talk about getting his win back. And he was beat to shit by the end of it. His chest was laced. It was red as hell.
I'm surprised that this was the move they decided to make at the biggest or the greatest Royal Rumble, the biggest house show in the world.
You want to know
they're not protecting him at all here. They're just like, for an hour.
Ever since the last Royal Rumble where they knocked him out, Bray Wyatt knocked him out halfway through and Roman got booed, it's like, congratulations. Daniel Bryan will never be in a Royal Rumble for less than an hour.
Yep, exactly. So yeah, he was actually eliminated by Big Cass, who didn't come in until 49. So that tells you,
yeah,
basically he was in there the entire time.
That, of course, sets up their match at Backlash. Clinch in our chat room is saying that Roderick Strong was responsible for the chops, lighting him up.
So Mike Kanellis wins the award for shortest time in there at 3 seconds.
Is that the record? Did he beat the Santino record?
The Santino record was like 7 seconds or something?
No, it's another one of those. Short. It's literally like at. It's so fast that you have to try. You have to like take one step in and jump right in. Right?
Yeah. Like the moment you enter the ring, you are out of the ring.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Then no, I don't think so because 3 seconds took a bit of.
So it's 3 seconds. Like 1 second is the Santino record where it was literally a slide in and he immediately goes over the top.
That's like an that's more unbeatable than 56 game hitting streak.
Yeah. So yeah,
I mean there was some fun stuff in here. It was good.
I had a blast. It was a lot of fun. I mean, a 50-man Royal Rumble is really long, but I enjoyed the surprises. I thought the end was good. It was really 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 fun. Now let's talk about something out of it. One thing that was missing from the greatest Royal Rumble pay-per-view was women. None of
female
them
wrestlers.
Performed.
Yes.
However. Now confirmed, you were saying that they did get paid.
So this is the news I got on R Squared Circle. That is then this is obviously goes through PW Insider.
Okay.
It is apparently confirmed this independently that WWE is indeed paying them as if they had made an appearance.
Gotcha.
And it seems like the wrestlers are getting pretty good paydays from this event because there's so much money coming in from it. So, I mean, it's the right thing to do if you're going to also kind of do the wrong thing to do, which is, kind of kowtow to this archaic thing that the Saudi Arabians have decided. It's like you're a wrestling promotion that is highly touting its female roster right now, right?
Yeah.
And then you take this deal, and it's a lot of money, man. And I get it; it's a lot of money, but it's a pretty big part of your product right now to just say, okay, no, you guys aren't coming because they won't let you, and we're just going to do it. So it's to me, it's like the least they could do, but it's
I think
they could do is not pay them at all. But this is like the next step up.
It's the best way to deal with a bad situation. Is to make sure that, look, they had to do the job by not showing up, but you still get paid. They're a big part of the product. I think that was the right thing to do. The other person that didn't show up was Sami Zayn.
Yeah, despite the fact that he
said that he was going to show up on Raw that week, he apparently did not go. That because it was a decision by WWE via their partners with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, that they were going to respect Saudi culture. So I don't know if it was Sami's work.
Did he say he wouldn't respect Saudi culture?
So he, apparently this was not Sami Zayn's decision. This according to Pro Wrestling Sheet. And Ryan Satin's pretty good. I don't know whether or not it's his work in Syria.
It's got to be, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's because he is very outspoken when it comes to one cause in particular.
He does a lot of charitable work in Syria.
Yeah.
So
that has to be the reasoning behind it. But that's unfortunate. I mean, I guess again, the thing that to me, it's like at a certain point, do we need the money? Do we really need the money? I guess that would be the question I'd be asking.
In the words of Spaceballs, they're not doing it for money. They're doing it for a shitload of money.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out exactly how much money when they have to report their finances in a couple months. But the rumors on how much they're getting paid for these things is astronomical. And
well, it's like something like $60 billion over 10 years. That was the thing that just got posted. And I'm like, what?
Well, not billion, right?
No. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Okay, here's the post.
$6 billion over 10 years?
Not that that's all going to WWE, but that's what Saudi Arabia is investing.
No. Yeah, no. The Saudi Vision 2030 campaign.
Entertainment.
Yeah, is gigantic. And that, I can imagine, is $60 billion over 10 years.
Over 10 years, yeah.
But this is a tremendous amount
of
money.
That's not just for wrestling. That's for other things, too, right?
Yeah. So yeah. Reverend Puck is saying that it was $100 million over 10 years, which, I mean, look, that's $10 million every show. And then I have to worry about selling tickets. They literally just show up and run a pay-per-view, and that's it. They wouldn't even have to stream it if they don't want to, but they're doing it because it's another value add, right?
Hmm. So, okay, so there's a couple of things as part of this, which is kind of interesting. One of the kind of motivations is to have Saudi Arabia be thought of as, this is a quote here, which I have no idea is accurate or not, but a country of moderate Islam that is open to all religions, traditions, and people. So this is the ambition.
Yes.
This is not necessarily the reality at the moment.
No. This is the new crown prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman. This is his big idea, is that, hey, look, number one, is oil money not going to last forever. So what we want to do is make our number one reputation not we're the place that makes your gas expensive and every once in a while houses terrorists that take down your buildings.
Sure.
And that a lot of that Vision 2030 stuff is like doing things like investing in American companies and basically saying, all right, we have a crap ton of money now. Let's start investing it in things that will make us money long after the oil in the ground runs out.
Well, there's another thing here, too, that says 70% of the population are under 30.
Yeah. Right, no, it's now a very young country.
So, yeah, so that to me means that, yeah, over the next 10, 20 years, it's going to change quite a bit as well, because that's like a baby boomer type generation thing, right? Like, that's like, that means like, that's at one point, these people who are young now will be replacing all these people like en masse. And maybe at the end of this 10 years, the women are coming to Saudi Arabia. Like,
you know, if you listen to Triple H talk about it, that seemed to be what he was insinuating, is that this is a slow moving progress, a slow moving thing. Yeah. But let's show that we can put on a show and then we can start making cultural requests.
Sure. Yeah, because there was also a random pause in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
Apparently that was for a prayer break.
Yep.
And there was a lot of things like that were very much just, okay, WWE is clearly just kind of letting them call the shots as far as.
Well, look, this is a lot of things. I forget. Yeah. I think it was Mitsula who was saying that this is basically like a Sweet 16 party, like that they just like a very expensive version.
It's like when they fly in Rihanna and like
exactly.
Kanye, and they're like, yeah. My daughter really likes you. Sing for us. And there's like 20 people in the room.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, man. It's a weird thing. And it's also very weird that it was broadcast to the world. So we all kind of got a little bit more of an insider's look at what's going on.
Hey,
with this
number
whole
one.
It's not something you get to see very often.
Strap in. Because we got another 10 years of this unless something happens. By the way, they were in trouble because, despite the fact that none of the women performed, they did air that like 5 minute long. How long is that promo of them lip syncing to that rap song or whatever let everybody know that all the pay-per-views are dual branded now? They aired that on the big screens. That includes all the female performers in their ring gear. So all the shots of Carmella in her one piece and Sasha in her ring gear, which is verboten in Saudi Arabia, that caused an apology from the sports commission to the people of the kingdom.
Yeah, whoops, we didn't mean to show you women in skimpy clothing. I'm so sorry.
Whoopsie.
Men in their underwear, though. A-okay.
Oil them up.
Oil them up. Let them start playing with each other. I want to watch.
At the Saudi Sports Commission to the people of Saudi Arabia.
This was, yeah, this was the first line in their meeting. It's actually in the contract.
All right. So let's go back to Vegas, which is where we were watching this. At that point, Willie, you made a very, very wise decision, and I made a very unwise decision. Because you decided that you were going to go back to sleep. You were going to take a little disco nap. I decided that I was up. I was up for the day. And so I went down to the pool. And again, yet more people very excited to hang out and to throw drinks in my face, which I drank dutifully. The next time we ran into each other was at the event that night. We're there for the TMS event, and so they had a little fun meet and greet with all the people there. And I think at that point, it was at that point that people I recognized that people started saying, "Wow, you're drunk." So it's like, yeah, you know, you've been in that situation where it's like all of a sudden you're like, you don't necessarily feel all that drunk. Like, sure, you feel like you had a few, but like then all of a sudden people are like, wow, you are faded. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm here now. Like, what are you really going to do at that point? You got to just ride it out. You got to grab that dragon by the tail and sure. see where it goes.
I will say this, though, about that crowd. There's a lot of them that drink, and then there's a lot of them that don't drink. And
yeah.
The moment you are acting any different than they remember you from all of your podcasts, you must be wasted.
Yes.
Like, I've definitely gotten that, and I'm like, no, I've actually only had, like, two beers, so.
Sure.
I'm fine. At that point, though, we had had much more than two beers. So,
yeah,
to be fair.
No.
It was not inaccurate.
Nailed it. Because, by the way, I was on 2 hours sleep.
I thought you were doing great. We went to, we hung out there for a while. We went to a show.
We did.
Saw a fun little band that I'd never heard of before. But Svet from Same Sex Mary was running the show.
Great times.
Took us over there. It was a lot of fun.
And then the night kind of wore on. And here's where I'm going to rely on you, Willie, to be my narrator, because I will say that at about the point that we were at that show and that band was playing, was about where I really the only thing that I absolutely remember very coherently was knowing that it was time to go. I had to hit the eject button. Got to get the fuck out.
We were getting a little sloppy.
Yeah.
And yeah, we had to go. So I think it was me, you, and did we get a ride or did we just jump in? I think we jumped in an Uber.
It was an Uber, but we were also with I apologize, but
with 9 of 12 September.
9 of 12, yeah, from the Geek Grills.
Yeah. And we went to my room and hung out for a little while, and then you basically were just like, I gotta go to bed.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't believe you made it this far, to be completely honest.
So then
I decided.
So here, all right. So let me just say, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to, yeah, little flash forward to know that I go to sleep and I wake up in all of my clothes when I hear a furious pounding on my door and a very exuberant Willie Deals busts in. But let's go ahead and listen to your story to find out how you get there.
How did we get from there to there?
Yeah.
So I decided that, I'd been playing some craps and that had been going okay, not great. So I was playing the wrong game. Like, what am I doing playing craps? These table games, I always just sit there and eventually lose my money. So I decided, no, I'm going to go play some poker. And I kind of scrounged up whatever was left in my wallet after we'd been out all night and stuff. And it was like $200 or something. It wasn't that great. So I go to the Golden Nugget, which has like a pretty decent poker room. And we're right on Fremont. We're right next to Fremont Street. It's like right there.
Yeah.
It's really not that far of a walk for me. So I head on over there. They got a couple of 1-2 no limit games going, which is exactly what I wanted to play. And I buy in for like the whatever $200 I have, and then about 20 minutes later, that was basically gone, and I was like, uh-oh. So I was like, okay, I need to go get some more cash out. I come back with, I think I came back with $300, and I'm sitting there for a while. We're having fun. There's a Russian guy next to me who's apparently flying out in like 5 hours. Me and him are kind of having fun. We're doing little side bets on like what color the flop is going to be and things like that. We're having a good old time. And then at a certain point, and you know, I'm not like doing well. I'm not doing bad. I'm kind of just breaking even. I think I'd grinded it up to like $400 or $500 at some point.
Yeah.
And then a gentleman sits down, really well-dressed older guy, slicked back hair, immediately throws like $1,000-something onto the table.
Gotcha.
And his plan is clearly that he's going to run this table by just having the bigger stack than everybody else and all that. And I just looked at him and said, there's $1,000 on that table that I could win. So we ended up getting into a hand. I think at this point I might have even gone up to a little more like 700 or something in front of me.
So you were doing well. You were doing okay.
Yeah, I was doing pretty good. Me and him get into a hand where I have the powerful queen seven suited, and I can't remember exactly what he had, but the flop comes two clubs. I had queen seven of clubs, and he raises, and I say, well, all right, I'll stick around. Seven hits, so I'm like, well, now I have a pair and this flush draw, so yeah, this seems good. And then I think at this point he checks. And then I bet, and he raises, and I'm like, oh, I can't let him just blow me off the hand here. I got something.
Yeah.
Third seven hits on the river, and he basically, I think the action was he pushed in, and I insta-called. I'm pretty sure that's how it went down. There was some debate afterwards on if I had slow-rolled him or not, but I'm pretty sure I insta-called.
Yeah.
And I turn over my three sevens, and like I'm just kind of thinking like, oh man, please don't tell me like he's got something, because there was no flush or straight on the board. I'm like, please don't tell me he has like, you know, pocket pair and has a full house or something.
Yeah.
And he just goes like, wait, I thought I had three sevens or something.
Oh,
like that.
Oh no.
He had misread his hand, and it was funny because he gave all of his chips to me, and there was like a whole stack of like $100 bills underneath them, and so I got all of those too.
Oh, so he just pushed in.
Instantly got up and left.
He just pushed in literally everything, just like all the paper, all the chips, because he was just trying to bully the rest of everybody around there just to take everybody's money, because he had a big stack and he got caught for all of it.
And he got caught for all of it. And suddenly everybody like looked at me like, okay, well, you can't leave now because you have all the money on the table. But there is like these weird unspoken rules. If you like win a huge pot, you're not supposed to immediately get up and leave the table.
Yeah.
But it was at this point, it was like
countdown
or six in the morning.
Yeah. No. At that point,
I will do the honorable thing. I will play for a little while longer, but not much longer. Like this was kind of what I was kind of hoping for to happen here. And it did. I'm not now just going to sit here for an hour and dump it all back. So I played some pots. I wasn't like totally tight. I was, you know, having some fun with people. When I got up, everyone was like, no. I was like, it's so late.
Sorry, dude. Yeah.
So then I get back to my room, and your phone is sitting there on my chair.
Yeah.
And basically I was like, I don't know if I'm going to see Jerry again. I should probably go give it to him now. Also, now I get to tell somebody my sweet story.
So what? All I know is that I go from passing out at the end of the night of a fairly lengthy day of very hard drinking. My hangover the next day was righteous. It was the hammer of God into my temple. But all I see is this brilliant ray of sunshine bursting through my door. And it's just Willie wild-eyed saying, Jerry, here's your phone. I haven't gone to sleep all night because I've been making these fat stacks, as he just spreads out his gigantic wad of hundreds that he had just taken off that dude at the table. And it was the guiding light for the rest of my day.
So because I had lost the 200 when I started and bought in, I think I was up about 1,000, 1,100, something like that. But I walked away with like $1,600 or something like that.
Jesus.
And yeah. The dangerous part of it when it's money won like that is that it just seems like it doesn't matter. So when I went to see Avengers the next day, Because I had to check out at 11.
Yeah,
I texted you. I was like, "Can I just sleep in your room?"
And you would have been able to if yeah. I hadn't been sleeping, which I was.
Yeah. So when I come out from my room, I'm like, "Well, okay, I haven't heard from Jerry yet." So I'm like, "I'm just gonna go, just see if I can see the Avengers." And it turns out there's a movie theater really close to our hotel.
Okay,
but it was one of these like. Really nice. You sit in a recliner and they give you a blanket and they have craft cocktails and like gourmet nice. Foods and things like that. But I have 1500 extra bucks burning a hole in my pocket. So I get like a carafe of sangria. Like, I get like popcorn and a burger and like and some nachos.
So it's like a $150 trip to the movies.
I think I went through an entire bill for the movie, but it was really, really fun, and it was a good movie. And, it was a nice way to kind of, like, celebrate the fact that I had a bunch of extra cash in my pocket.
That is amazing. And then, unfortunately, you had to leave. Everybody, there were rumors. Yeah. Rumors were going around that because of your new windfall that you might you might move your flight.
Yeah, yeah, but the problem is I couldn't move my work the next day.
Yeah.
And that was really the issue that forced me to just have to bite the bullet and say, all right, I'm leaving. I was actually looking to see if there was a flight I could take like later in the evening. But to move that would have ended up costing me like more than I was comfortable with. So
yeah. No, it was the right move. Look, it wasn't just the table you needed to escape. That morning, you needed to escape the city. You needed to get the hell out of Vegas with that money.
I needed to get home, try to get some sleep. And then I had to wake up early and go pick up Iggy before I went to work. And so last night at work, I was dying. But I got one more little. So it's been an eventful few weeks.
Okay, go ahead.
So, you know, I've been working in a hotel bar.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
As well as I had my first tip. With a note folded into the tip with a room number and a phone number.
Well, my. Can you give us a little description?
I'll say I didn't go up there because I've not been working there very long and I don't want to like, I assume that's frowned upon.
Sure.
To just suddenly like run up to the room. But,
you don't abandon your post, right?
No. Like after I'm done or whatever, I was sure. Like, nah, I'm not going up there.
No. You don't immediately get the reputation of the coxman of the bar.
Sure. Yeah. But, she was nice. She was cute, but I don't know. She's some lady who's in the bar. Like she's, I don't know.
I mean, business. I assume there was some kind of discussion before she drops the digits on you.
Sure. I mean, it's not a very busy place. So
yeah.
I have like long conversations with lots of people who are in there. So yeah, we were talking about where she's from, what she's doing, all that kind of stuff. There was nothing like overt about any of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically, yeah, like the note just said, I just thought you were cute. I was like, all right.
Well, goddamn. Everything's coming up, Willie. I mean, listen, you're getting offers, at the hotel bar. Hotel bar, I assume that's probably a place where that kind of happens a little bit.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, this can't be like a totally uncommon thing. We'll find out.
All right, here, guys, email in justinrobertyoung@gmail.com 1-900 in the subject line. We need a name so you can just, you don't have to go into it, right? We can just have a name when this happens again. Or if it never happens again, then we will know that this happened only once.
Sure. This is my goal now. I'm going to make this happen.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, now the gauntlet's been thrown down.
No, I'm not.
I mean, but like, you know.
It's only good if it happens naturally, right?
I mean, yeah, but what's natural? Is it unnatural to be a charming, handsome young man serving drinks and providing good companionship?
Not at all. Yeah.
Tell you what. This is getting D-Mexpin calls it a Carl Spicy Wiener. I don't know. I think we can do better than a Carl Spicy Wiener. But it's got to be like an action. It's got to be a thing. We'll workshop it. We'll come back to it. I don't even know if there's any other wrestling news that we have, although I have really fucking enjoyed this episode of the show where we talked about a bunch of random stuff. All right, yeah, we talked about that. We talked about New Japan tickets that we're going to get tomorrow. If you are planning on going to the G1 show in the Cal Palace, please, please, please do. We're going to be rolling deep, son. We got me. Dills is coming out. Mitsula's coming out. Gabe's going to be there. My wife. Man, we got a crew, and we are going to try to get as close to that ring as possible for that show, because I got a feeling, man, that Cow Palace is going to be rocking, which is going to be awesome. To have that arena, you know, jumping up and down the way that it was back in the heyday, that's going to be a special event. So we will be there for that. And then, of course, yeah, Raw, SmackDown, all those fun things coming up. Let's go ahead and get into the Melodica Challenge. This was last week's. Wait a minute. This might have been the week before's.
Yeah, I think this is...
Yeah, I think this was last week's. Yeah. That, of course, is Kevin Owens. Did you see his... What's it called? The first promo that he did to, like, try and get into the Performance Center? It was posted on Squared Circle, but basically it was fantastic. I mean, like, that's one of those promos where you're like, okay, yeah, right now, like, not only are you in, you're getting the push that he got, like, immediately, where he went right after Sami Zayn, because the promo is all about Sami Zayn. It's all about how it might have been the best day in Sami Zayn's life for him to get signed, but it was the worst day in Kevin Owens because he had to he immediately became a terrible husband and a terrible father to his kids because he was just so pissed off that Sammy got the opportunity and he didn't, and that's why Kevin Steen is coming right for Sami Zayn. Yeah. But it was fantastic. All right,
so I hear the Kevin Owens, but play it one more time because I heard CM Punk too. And watch if you can, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe look in my eyes. Oh, maybe it is CM Punk. It actually might be CM Punk. All right. I might have screwed all this up. And I didn't load this week, so we're going to have to do that next week.
Because you can hear that this is similar because, you know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Look in my eyes.
Yes,
what do you see? All right. That's okay. You want to know what? I can't find it. I'm sure it's one of these, though. All right. I think I got it here. No, it's gotta be CM Punk because Kevin Owens was number 50, and this is number 52.
Okay, I thought so. I was like, because there's a little more to it than just the wow 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 wow.
Yeah,
like I feel like yeah, he's done that one before, and it was very recognizable.
Very recognizable. All right, hey, Dills, when you're not possibly banging hotel guests, what are you up to?
I will maybe be streaming tonight. It depends. I have a lot of stuff I got to take care of because we just got back and I had to work. But definitely tomorrow and Wednesday there will be streams. Get back in it. I got to play Monster Hunt, man. I haven't had a chance to dive into it.
So good.
Twitch.tv/WheelieDills. Come check me out playing all that stuff. There's still a lot of decks I got to. I still so many things I haven't explored with Witchwood, but, every single time I've come up with a weird idea, it's been so fun.
By the way, do you have a 1 minute take on Ben Brode being Outski?
It's sad for sad for like the podcasters, community people, that kind of stuff, because he was such a great ambassador there. It's not sad for the game. The game is going to be in great hands. And, you know, they moved Chalky in, who has been one of the best minds in Hearthstone from the player's perspective. So I really do think that we're fine going forward. He got 15 years in with the company, 10 years on one game. It's time to do something different. So this is not like an omen of doom or anything like that. This is just a guy who wants to do something different professionally. It makes total sense.
I'll tell you what, I agree with you. So wait, hold on. Have they named the new head?
No, not the game director, but they brought in a few new people as well at the same time as him going out. So,
I'll tell you what, big shout out.
I guess maybe Mike Dene would be the guy that might get the nod, but I haven't seen any announcements yet.
Yeah. Well, folks, please go ahead and check him out, twitch.tv/WillyDills. You can check me out, twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. That's where this fine program is streamed every Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern time, and apparently my Skype just reset. 6 p.m. Eastern time, that is 3 p.m. on the West Coast. Let's see if we can get Willie back. Otherwise, no, I think Willie just might have went out. So that's fine. We're at the end of the episode. My name is Justin R. Young. Find me, Justin R. Young, every social media platform you possibly have. I'm going to be watching Raw and SmackDown. Oh, I'm going to be getting these New Japan tickets. I'm so excited. I want to see Suzuki murder somebody on American soil. Then he just comes to America and lives like some kind of weird hermit. Anyway, until next time.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views.
I will see you guys next week. For Willie Dills Gregory, I'm Justin Robert Young. Be dialing!
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this, prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump won't be yet.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.